sermon series is entitled Transformation, the Pursuit of the Extraordinary. So my message today is simply entitled Potential of the Extraordinary. Now, let me ask you a few questions. What does extraordinary mean to you? Do you think extraordinary is possible in your life? Now, when we think of the word extraordinary, we might think of famous people, right? Athletes, singers, actors, movie stars, you know, people who have accomplished great things. We may see all of these different categories of people as extraordinary, but many times we don't see ourselves in that way because we may view ourselves as simply being ordinary, right? I mean, I think that's pretty accurate in saying that. We see, maybe we look at ourselves and see ourselves as just ordinary people. But how often in viewing ourselves do we consider limitations, our failures, our habits, maybe our lack of education, lack of certain qualities, and we, in our mind, we may think that we are not extraordinary. But I'm going to change your mindset today. I'm going to change your mindset and show you what God says about being extraordinary. Because the truth is, God has predestined you for the extraordinary. And the pursuit of the extraordinary is the pursuit of Christ who has redeemed you. That's it right there. You were created, or we were created, or we could say we were recreated for more. Now, let me give you a little illustration of what I'm going to talk to you about. Anybody ever heard the name Nikki Cruz? All right, Nikki Cruz was born in Puerto Rico in 1938. He was one of 19 children. Either they loved each other or they loved kids, one or the other. Born in Puerto Rico in 1938, one of 19 children, born to parents who practiced witchcraft. Yeah. He was regularly beat up and mentally abused both by his parents and his siblings. He went through a lot. His mother declared him as a son of Satan while she was in a spiritual trance. At age 9, Nikki Cruz attempted suicide. 9 years old, he attempted suicide. At age 15, he was banished by his parents from their home. He went to New York to live with his brother. At age 16, Nikki Cruz joined one of Brooklyn's most violent, most notorious street gangs. Became a very violent individual. What a story. He climbed the ranks to become, in this violent gang, he climbed the ranks to become a feared gang leader. But there was a preacher by the name of David Wilkerson who wanted to reach Nikki Cruz with the gospel. And he did that. And Nikki Cruz was converted to Christ by the ministry of David Wilkerson. Nikki Cruz went to Bible college. Nikki Cruz got married, and Nikki Cruz started an evangelistic ministry that has now been in operation for over 50 years. Now, do you think that he viewed himself as extraordinary? But God, hallelujah. Oh, by the way, he wrote 10 books. One of my favorites, I have it in my library. The title of this book is The Devil Had No Mother. If you want a good read, and listen, if I endorse a book from the pulpit, you're going to know it's a good book. The Devil Had No Mother. If you want to read an incredible book, I highly recommend it. So think of the change in this man, in my sermon series, Transformation, the Pursuit of the Extraordinary. So let me give you this verse. I love this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So let me zero in on this truth. An extraordinary God has an extraordinary plan. And guess what? He draws you and I into it. Hallelujah. That's good news. How often do we read these words in 1 Corinthians 2:9 and we immediately think of the glory of heaven? We think of all that God has prepared for us in heaven. And we know heaven is going to be the most glorious place that born-again believers will experience forever. We know that. And I'm sure there is an application of these words to the glory of God, the glory of heaven that awaits believers. But if we look at the theme of this chapter, we quickly come to the conclusion that it is referring to the revelation and illumination that the Holy Spirit reveals concerning God's extraordinary plan. So let's read just a little further to catch a glimpse of the extraordinary. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. He says, yet to us God has unveiled and revealed them by and through his Spirit. He's talking about the plan of God, the mysteries of God. He has unveiled and revealed mysteries by and through his Spirit, for the Holy Spirit searches diligently, exploring and examining everything, even sounding the profound and bottomless things of God, the divine counsels and things hidden beyond man's scrutiny. For what person perceives, knows, or understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him? Just so no one discerns, comes to know, and comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world. Come on, somebody. But we have received the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us, look at this, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate, we're talking about the extraordinary now, and the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. Hallelujah. Notice that he says that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing that have been lavishly bestowed. Do you get that? Lavishly bestowed. Hallelujah. That, my friend, is extraordinary. Our extraordinary God has an extraordinary plan that is realized when we are sold out to him. Hallelujah. When you surrender to Christ, when you give your life to Christ, when you are sold out to Christ, there is an extraordinary plan that begins to take over. And all of a sudden, you are propelled out of all of your mess. Out of all of your mess into an extraordinary plan of God. This plan is so extraordinary that it amazes the angels in heaven. Let's check it out. Ephesians 3. Paul says, my task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, he says, who created all of this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. God is always working. You might not always see it, but he's always working. It might not always be visible at the moment, but he's always working behind the scenes. It says it right here. He goes on, through followers of Jesus, like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is being known and talked about even among the angels. Let's give them something to talk about. Anybody remember that song? Wow. An extraordinary God has an extraordinary plan. So what is extraordinary? Let's define it from Merriam's English dictionary, Merriam-Webster's English dictionary. Three definitions here of the word extraordinary. Going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary, exceptional. Going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary, it means exceptional. The second definition, employed for or sent on a special function or mission. Now think, all three of these definitions have an application to you and I. All three of them. So when Jesus steps in, we go beyond the normal. We go beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. We step into the exceptional because he is exceptional. Then he says we are employed or sent on a special function or mission. Aren't we all called to go and preach the gospel? Aren't we given the great commission to go and preach the gospel around the entire world? And then the third definition of extraordinary is exceptional in character. And if you are not becoming exceptional in character, then you have to really honestly look at your spiritual condition. Because when you are in Christ and when you are surrounded with people of God and you are moving forward, there is going to be transformation. It is going to happen, and you will become exceptional in your character. Not that it's you, but it's the character of Christ. See, it's the character of Jesus that is exceptional. Some synonyms for extraordinary are these words: amazing, remarkable, marvelous, unimaginable, phenomenal. Hallelujah. Why don't you just find somebody today? You could even tell your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter and just say, you're phenomenal. Amen. You're phenomenal. Hallelujah. Yeah, why not? Begin to think differently. So to get a good understanding of the meaning of extraordinary, y'all still with me? All right, to get a deeper meaning of the word extraordinary, let's look at the word of God to see some examples of scripture, some examples of extraordinary that we find in the Bible. Psalm 77, he says, oh God, your deeds are extraordinary. What God can compare to our God? You are the God who does amazing things. You have revealed your strength among the nations. That even means in America. He's amazing. Your deeds are extraordinary. Psalms 139, verse 6. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. That's what David said. He said, it is lofty. I'm unable to reach it. Then we read this in Isaiah 11, 2. The Lord's Spirit will rest on him. A spirit that gives extraordinary wisdom. A spirit that provides the ability to execute plans. Wow. A spirit that produces absolute, I love this, loyalty to the Lord. You got to be a sold out follower. You got to be a sold out follower. Then we have in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. I love the book of Daniel, one of my favorite character studies in all of the scripture. He says, there was found this man, Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. He had, look at this, an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and skill to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Now summon Daniel, he will disclose the interpretation. The king had a very troubling dream. And he put out the word. He said, bring all of my magicians, bring all of the soothsayers, and I need them. He said, I can't even remember the dream now, but it was very troubling. He said, I need them to tell me what I dreamed, and then I need them to tell me what the dream means. They all said, no man is able to do that. We can't. If he could have told them the dream, they would have made up something. But he wanted the details of what the dream was. But then all of a sudden there was word. There is this Hebrew young man who has an extraordinary spirit. Let's get him. Well, you can go and read the story. He came and he said in his humility, he said, this is too great for any man. He said, but the God who I serve reveals secrets. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The God that I serve, the God that I know, he is an extraordinary God. And because Daniel served him, he had an extraordinary spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Let's talk about gifts of the Spirit. He said, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments. Gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. Can I give you one more? 2 Corinthians 4:7. Now we have this treasure in clay jars. He's talking about the anointing of God. So that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. My friends, all of these verses demonstrate that our extraordinary God does extraordinary things in and through those whom he calls. So you and I are candidates. Hallelujah. There is a power within every believer that is working to release the extraordinary. We can go back to the very creation of humanity and see that the extraordinary nature of God was imparted to mankind in the very beginning. Let me share it with you. Genesis 1, God spoke. He said, let us make human beings in our image. Now there's, you know, theologians kind of talk about who is the us. You know, many say that it was simply the fellowship of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some says that, you know, it was a reference to angels. You know, I kind of think it was, you know, in the beginning, the Father had the Father, the Son, the Spirit, they all are eternal. Amen. Existed in eternity past. So he said, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflect our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea. I can't wait to get my line in the water. I'm going to the boat show in 2 weeks. I might come home with one. I don't know. My wife has given me approval years ago. Because everything has to go through the Pentagon. And if the Pentagon approves, let's go, baby. All right, let me stay focused here. He says, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, the earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. That still applies. He created them male and female. It's not politically correct. I don't care. He created them male and female, and God blessed them. God blessed them. And he said, prosper, reproduce. And that's when Adam said, yes, fill the earth, take charge. Are y'all still with me? Then he said, be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. We were created by God to reflect his character and his nature. Now that, my friend, is extraordinary. Let me move to another thought. Jesus turns your mess into a message. Now the Bible says that God has no respect of persons. So if he did this for Nikki Cruz, when it says God is no respecter of persons, that means that he doesn't make any distinction. What he's done for one person, he'll do for another. Come on, somebody. Listen, because he is no respecter of person. He just wants to work in all of our lives. And he will turn our mess into a message. Now, we know that sin negatively affected our potential for the extraordinary. It did. Before sin came into the world, it sure looks like Adam was doing the extraordinary. Because the verse says, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. That sounds like extraordinary. So when sin rules, potential is not realized. I want you to get that. When sin rules in our lives, in whatever form, shape, or fashion it comes in, potential is not realized. And we're talking about releasing it. Think of people today who are wasting their lives because they have not surrendered to an extraordinary God. Think of it. They are controlled by some sin, or they are simply living for a cause that has no eternal value. But the good news, hallelujah, the good news is that Jesus turns a mess into a message. Hallelujah. I love the way Paul says it in Romans 5:18. He says, here it is in a nutshell. I love this in the Message Bible. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all in this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. Hallelujah. He got me out of it. Jesus Christ gets us out of our trouble and he gets us into his life. He turns your mess into a message. God has predestined you and I to live and to walk in an extraordinary life. Are you living extraordinary? If your answer is no, you came to the right place today. Hallelujah. Because we have been predestined for it. When Jesus comes in, a turnaround is the result. The extraordinary life is not for the rich and famous. Y'all remember that show? Stacy Keach, right? Lifestyles of the rich and famous. And they pop in all kind of pills for their depression. Come on, somebody. You can have all the wealth in the world. You can have all the money, all the material things, but you can't have that produce an extraordinary life. Because the extraordinary is tied to an extraordinary God. Hallelujah. The extraordinary life is for those, listen, it is for those who know God and they walk in his extraordinary plan. And the key dynamic to the release of the extraordinary is found in that word, life. And that brings me to my last point. I'm preaching fast and strong. Well, here comes my joke. Mama, what does it mean when the pastor says an in conclusion? And the answer is absolutely nothing. And in conclusion, I want to leave you this thought, this last thought. Jesus gives us the God kind of life. Let me illustrate. Romans chapter 5. He says, for by the trespass of one, Adam, death reign through one, Adam, much more surely will those who receive, I love this, the abundance of grace. I'm living in the abundance of grace. Hallelujah. And the free gift of righteousness. He said they will reign in eternal life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one trespass, Adam's sin, there resulted condemnation for all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life for all men, for all people. That's what he's telling us. Justification. So this incredible word, and we find it in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I have come to give them life. To give them life. I have come to give them life. So then right here in Romans 5, he says that sin messed everything up. But Jesus came, and by his one act of righteousness, when he surrendered to the work of the cross and offered himself without spot unto God as the perfect sacrifice for the sin of all humanity. We are talking about the extraordinary. Hallelujah. When Jesus did that, when he offered himself, what was provided there in that moment, and by his death and by his resurrection, the release of the God kind of life. Because the word life that is used in Romans 5, the word life that is used in John 10:10, and many other places in the New Testament, is the Greek word zoe. And it simply means the eternal life of God. This Greek word zoe, it means the God kind of life. This Greek word zoe, it means life in the most absolute sense. This word zoe, it means the abundant life and the nature of God imparted to your spirit. That, my friend, is supernatural. There's no religion that gives you that. Not Islam, not any of the New Age, googly gook. You like that tree in my yard? Yeah, I'm a New Ager. Let's worship it. Have at it. I'm going to worship a God that lives. Hallelujah. I'm going to worship a God who has imparted something inside of me. Thank you, Jesus. This Zoe life, this miracle of God, is what releases the potential of an extraordinary life. When we receive Christ, we receive the God life. When someone is born again, this God kind of life is imparted into their spirit. So God recreates you by imparting the Zoe life into your nature. So a new nature takes over. The nature of God takes over. The spiritual rebirth makes you and I born again children of God, and we receive a new spiritual nature. And that new spiritual nature is what Paul called in the book of Romans chapter 8 when he said, for the law of the spirit of, anybody know it? Romans 8:1. For the law of the spirit of life. Guess what Greek words used there? Zoe. For the law of the spirit of life, the eternal life of God, the God kind of life, life in the most absolute sense, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Because, my friend, that is what extraordinary is all about. So this awesome Zoe life enables you and I to have intimate relationship with God. It means I can commune with God. I can walk in fellowship with God. I can worship God. Hallelujah. In this incredible new birth, our spirit comes alive by the miracle of God's nature being imparted to us. And this incredible new life has unlimited potential, because we are talking about, notice the definition again, because we are talking about the eternal life of Almighty God himself. That is extraordinary. That, my friend, is extraordinary. So then we have this statement, and I'll leave you with this one. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith, or joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creation, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And the old things, look at this, the old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition. That's why I don't go to the club. There used to be a time where I might have went to the club. I don't go to the club anymore. Do you know why? Because my wife would kill me. Come on, somebody. He says the old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. See, if you have not had transformation, you need to go back to the altar and re-examine things. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you got to get back to the altar. Because he says, the old stuff is not going to characterize you anymore. Your value system changed. Everything changes. It has all passed away. And he said, behold, new things have come. Here's the reason. Oh, my God. Because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Hallelujah. The fresh and the new has come.